If you haven't seen the 1975 The Apple Dumpling Gang, well, then that's okay. We're going to sit here and talk about it. All right, so everybody ready? Let's start the show.
Here, Tom Thompson, Adventure Begins. An exciting spectacle brought to you by NOW and Technicolor Podcast. Dumplings in the heat, slung on the feet, in a Technicolor being you and me. Caught up in a dream, in a Technicolor being to the heat.
All right, everybody. So this is Jay Lost the Day, or John. It's episode 2 of season 2, and we sit here again. I am also joined by someone else again. I'm not here lonely. I got Chris from the Laser Disco Pod.
That's right.
What's going on?
Doing great, man. Ready to talk about some Apple Dumpling Gang. A movie from my childhood.
This is definitely one that I think both you and I saw at least a number of times as a kid. Now, I know you said you watched the second one a lot more than this one, though.
This is the better movie, though. But, I watched the second one more. But, yeah, this is the better movie. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the better movie, but, I mean, the second one's still pretty good.
I'll go. I mean,
still pretty good. Still very fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got more Don Knotts, so there you go.
How could it not be fun?
Right. Right. It does have a lack of Incredible Hulk, though.
It does. Admittedly, we'll get into that in a minute, especially with old Bill Bixby.
That's right.
In this, so that's great, but. I don't know, we've kind of been discussing a whole number of movies that we would like to have discussed as well as this one, or possibly in future episodes.
Right.
And I just thought of, I was like, man, at no point did we mention, The Love God or Ghost of Mr. Chicken or The Reluctant Astronaut. Just Don Knotts.
Just Don Knotts.
The incredible Mr. Limpet.
Oh, God, yes.
All of these fantastic movies.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Not to mention, I mean, he's Barney Fife.
He is.
And whatever the hell the goddamn landlord was on Three's Company, I don't even remember. It's been so long.
I don't remember the name, but yeah, the landlord on Three's Company. Mm-hmm. Don Knotts is just
great. Amazing.
He's great.
And Tim Conway. Let's not forget.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tim Conway. I was about to go into Tim Conway, and I'm like, that's another amazing comedic actor right there. As a matter of fact, you pointed out something that was long since forgotten earlier, and I think you've helped me create a brand new segment, which we're going to hop into for just a brief moment, called Lost Moments in Media History. Now we've crossed the line. All right, Chris, so this is what we're going to go over. I'm gonna, honestly, I want you to tell the people what it was that we seem to have all forgotten.
Right, this is weird, too, because I was talking to my mother earlier about this today, and she was an adult during this time period. I only remember this from being a little kid, and it was Dorf on Golf. Tim Conway is a character named Dorf who... looks like his knees were sewn into ankles. I don't even...
Yeah, he basically looks like a live version of Cotton.
Yeah, Cotton Hill. And he was teaching you how to be a golfer, you know, how to up your golf game. And I remember this as being a TV infomercial, like, order Dorf on Golf today, and gave you the 1-800 number to order Dorf on Golf from my childhood. Oddly enough, I've never actually watched it up until watching some of it tonight, other than the infomercial from when I was a kid, but no one seems to remember this.
Yeah, I had completely, you asked me, and I was like, yeah, I've I can't remember this. I've never even heard of it that I can think of. I had looked it up on YouTube and they have like three parts to this and watched like one of them. I was like, this is fucking fantastic. Yeah, it's
funny.
Why did I not know about this?
And apparently includes the evil axe murderer from Last Action Hero.
Yeah, it's his caddy.
That's a caddy you don't want.
Who, man, I'm going to tell you, he messes everything up. At one point, you said, like, during just the trailer, he's trying to take a backswing, and dude fires off a fucking shotgun.
And shotty right over his fucking head. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah. Aren't you supposed to be quiet in golf during the backswing, and he's shooting shotguns?
During the backswing, yeah. You're literally supposed to not be making, like, any noise, really. And this guy's, like, shooting dove.
Yeah. Yeah, it's actually really funny. So, that's some Lost.
Yeah, meat. No, it's definitely worth checking out. That's very Lost. It's very Lost in history. It's something that I don't think very few people are actually going to remember. You probably got to be, what, about 50 at this point to remember something like that?
I mean, I remembered it, but vaguely. And
To have, like, literally seen
ordered
it
the
and
videotapes.
Possibly watched the whole thing, ordered the videotape. And actually watch it, because I mean, come on, you had to be like 18,
right,
at least to order anything off of those infomercials.
Right. Had a credit,
or at least had to have
a credit card
that said you were.
And
18.
They weren't just giving, you know, anybody credit cards back then. It was quite difficult to get a credit card in the '80s.
It was, I mean, extremely difficult to get one in the '80s.
So there you go, folks. Dorp on golf. And YouTube, you can find this on YouTube now. So I would implore everyone to go watch some Dorf on Golf on YouTube.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. Look up Dorf on Golf and check this out, because I guarantee you're going to have a good time.
Especially if you like Tim Conway.
Yes. Now, on to the movie.
You ungrateful flea bag, you.
A Western does provide with a lot of avenues for humor.
I was always into Westerns, and I was always into playing with guns and wanting to be a cowboy, unlike Clay, who's a real cowboy.
I love Westerns. They're some of my favorite things to watch.
I loved all the petticoats and the boots and all the clothes.
Don't get your feet wet.
They're really fun for me because I got to wear fun clothes.
Just walking around a cowboy suit is kind of fun.
So the 1975, The Apple Dumpling Gang.
Great movie.
Starring Don Knotts, Bill Bixby, Tim Conway.
Slim Pickens.
Got Harry Morgan. Slim Pickens, who I love.
Immortal Rodeo Cowboy. I absolutely adore.
That guy is the Immortal Rodeo Cowboy. I cannot think of a role that I've ever seen him in that he is not a cowboy.
Right? Well, I mean, he was literally a cowboy. So, I mean, what do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. That's true. I mean, we were discussing earlier that possibly he had already gotten to a rodeo accident just prior to filming this movie, and then they had to work it into the script.
Well, that knee brace, it just looked a little too modern, if you ask me.
But what was mentioned earlier with the old The Incredible Hulk. I mean, Bill Bixby literally just at the beginning of this movie rides right in like The Incredible
Hulk.
That's
right. He does, and he almost
gets assaulted.
Him
to change during that poker fight.
Well, I mean, right off the bat, you got the old Hash Knife Gang, which is Don Knotts and Tim Conway. They're already thinking of ways to rob Bill Bixby the second he rides into
town. From the moment they see him, they're like, that guy, he's something.
That's right.
Let me tell you about it.
And he just rides in and you know, back then Bill Bixby was like a real leading man type, right? Like he was, you know.
It was a handsome, fine man. they were like this. The people were really gravitas towards him, you know, gravitate.
He had the gravitas,
you know.
Mm-hmm. He's all in black pretty much. Mysterious stranger rolls into town, starts whipping everyone's ass in cards. That's kind of
for a brief moment. And then just to give you a little foreshadowing to what's about to happen to him, he loses his $5.
That's right. He does, because
he agrees to pick up Whittleton's kids.
That's right. The
which he doesn't know that's
the kids. British douchebag. He sounds like he has kind of a British accent.
He's got kind of a British kind accent, of. But it's like it's very
subtle,
loose, very loose. And this guy, like, he convinces him after he's already sold him some bad horses.
Right. Oh, he sold him the Marshall's horses. Not a good thing.
And he says he's going to repay him for that and then pay him $5 in advance so that way he can pick up a very important package.
That's right.
Going to be left by the stagecoach, which what really happens is he skips town.
He skips town, yeah. And before that, like, he almost didn't get that $5 because the head of the bank tried to take that $5 for past debts.
He did,
debts.
until Mr. Donovan snatched that shit out of his hand. He was like, oh, hell no, I'm not going to let $5 pass me by.
He just lost $5.
He was just about to lose $5 because of the fact that he needed $5 to even get in on the pool.
So... yeah, so he agrees to get this package, and the package comes the next day, and it's not quite what he expected.
Turns out to be three
kids.
Children. That's a hell of a fucking turn of events.
I mean, the Whittleton guy, genius. Genius, my man.
Yeah, that guy really knew what he was doing. he gave up $5, but man, he really got to dip on those
back
kids.
Back then, $5 was... still a pretty good amount of money back then, $5.
Yeah, I was going to say, back then, $5, that was a nice amount of money. You got up to like $500 or $600, you were doing fucking extra well.
And you were rich.
Which admittedly, he got up to about $600, $700 later on the film, and instantly lost it again.
Instantly, because of a $300 mirror. Which back then, $300 back then was several thousand dollars now.
Yeah.
And a mirror?
Yes.
A $300 mirror. Which, by the way...
When he said that... All right, man. When he said $300 mirror, I was like, man, a mirror is not worth
$300. No, that was not a $300 mirror. And it gets broken twice.
That was like a $20 mirror.
That poor mirror just keeps getting broken throughout the film.
They didn't like it.
Well, $300. That was...
They didn't like that or that crazy musical device.
That fucking thing. But I mean, even before that, though, he's like, I don't want these kids, you know, and I don't have a place to keep them. They're like, oh, Whittleton has a place.
Right, admittedly, I want to know how much he paid the rest of the town because that guy right there instantly robbed him for $500 right off top.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, $300 mirror. How was the mirror worth more than the crazy musical
thing?
I
have no idea.
Like, instrument. Like, it had all that shit on it. And I'm like, it's only like $200. And I'm like, how is the mirror worth more?
Yeah. I have no...
It seems like you would have, like, reversed that and been like, the mirror was $200.
I don't know. I mean, the outside frame looked gold. Maybe it was made out of gold. I don't know.
Gold leaf?
Something. It doesn't make sense. Maybe. I mean, it was a pretty big mirror, but it's a freaking mirror, you know? And that's after he gets the kids, too. We haven't even delved into the shanty house that the sheriff is like, no, you have a place to take care of those kids. Take him to the shanty house that Whittleton owns.
Yeah, like the sheriff basically just forces these kids on this guy that literally just rode into town the day before. And agreed to pick up what was originally just a package.
Yes.
Not three
kids.
It
was three kids.
But then decides, like, the sheriff's just like, apparently, immediate plot device. You're going to take
that
the kids.
That sheriff.
Because I am the judge, the jury, the sheriff.
Everything.
The morgue owner.
The sheriff's actual name in the credits should be plot device. Because he behaves the entire movie like a fucking lunatic, and all of his choices, you're like, what the fuck? All of his choices make
no
sense.
I do
want to
point out his last
plot.
Name is McCoy.
Ah,
he is a McCoy.
Ah, yeah, okay, so. okay, yeah. He's but every fucking crazy thing he says is every weird decree and crazy thing that he does is what pushes the plot every time a little bit more. So he is literally, he is the plot device.
When they hit a standstill, when he's at a standstill, he is the plot device for it. He convinces him to, you know, marry Dusty and everything else.
Yeah, like, well, oh God, I can't wait to touch on that shit, but. God, he's insane.
Oh, man.
But the first thing, he sends him to the shanty.
The guy's like,
I don't think I should, you know, have these kids here. I don't know how to take care of children. The fucking shanty's falling apart. It leaks everywhere. And the sheriff's like, well, you might be the guest at a hemp party. I don't think hemp party back then meant what hemp party these days mean.
I'm about 100% sure that's not what it meant.
He's basically threatening him hardcore. And so he stays in the shanty, which leaks everywhere, ruins his salt
which
pork.
Leaks everywhere. Yeah, I was going to say, and he ruins the salt, like, instantly.
Instantly.
Like, he walks away to grab the girl, and it instantly catches on fire. And I'm like, man, that was really fast. How did that happen? Like, did, like, was the grease really boiling real good, and then all of a sudden a large amount of water suddenly hit it, caused a grease fire? It must have.
That is no place to have three children.
And then, of course, Magdalene? Was that her actual name, her first name?
I don't know her name, her first name.
Magnolia. It's Magnolia Dusty.
Yeah.
That's it.
Call her Dusty.
She shows up just in time.
That's right.
Dusty shows up just in time.
With some sort of weird named Stu. Something Stu. I don't know. That's some weird name. Oh, yeah.
It was like Dead Man
Stu. Something, yeah. He's like, this is the best Dead Man Stu I've ever had.
And you see the way those kids clean their plate?
Yeah, they loved it. Take my kids.
He is doing his damnedest to try to pawn those kids
off. Oh, my God, yes, and... That's what I love. Like, right after that, he literally goes to everyone in town trying to pawn children in his care off. Oh, my.
Oh, dude. He does that. And, like, he goes to the one guy that actually has kids. And he's just like, he basically just tries to sit there and tell him, like, well, you already got some. It's not really going to affect you to add some more. I mean, you know, what's it really going to do? What kind of harm's that going to do?
And then the daughter lets the dog into the chicken coop. And it's all over. Oh, and then Clovis, the little shit, kicks the dude, too. By the way, Clovis? Fuck Clovis. I don't like Clovis. I think we had this conversation earlier, and you're like, why don't you like Clovis?
Yeah, we did.
I don't like
Clovis. But he's the bad boy.
It's the most milquetoast badass boy I've ever seen. Like, I kick people when they touch me.
Come on, man. Think about Dennis the fucking Menace.
Yeah, he's
Menace.
Dennis the
Come
Menace without the slingshot. The 1800 tainted exactly Dennis the Menace. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Clovis, but whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's not a problem. The little girl has to go pee
all the time. Sounds like my wife.
All
it sounds
the time.
Like my wife on a road trip. That's what that sounds like. She has the bladder of a peanut. I swear to God.
I made a 14-hour drive with my entire family and only had to stop three times.
You bastard.
And it was primarily when we had to get gas.
You're a lucky man.
It was nice. I was very surprised. They slept a lot of it. And then we have the joys of technology, so I just like attach my phone to like this little device I've got that hangs from the mirror, or not the mirror, but the windshield. Mm-hmm. And just turn on fucking Netflix movies for them to watch while I was
there
driving.
There you go.
I was like, yay, joys of technology. I remember when we took road trips that I had to read a book.
Mm-hmm. Read a book.
That's your form of entertainment. You could look at out the window or read a book.
Or torture your siblings.
And then when we got Game
Boys. Bugs.
Or Slug Bug. And then I guess eventually when we got Game Boys, you could play Game Boy for a little while.
Yeah. But
that was years down the road.
Yes, many. Many.
Good times.
Good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
You weren't forced to actually wear a seatbelt.
No.
You were legally obligated to kill yourself if you had the chance. They were just like, fuck it. If you die, you die. We were all about natural selection.
Absolutely. My parents had a conversion van. Big old conversion van where the back seat folded into a bed and stuff. You know? I would it sleep never on road
actually
trips.
Became a seat.
Right. No, it was always like, back there in a bed.
It was always a bed.
We never put it into the seat. And, you know, and even like the middle seats, like there was a table in the middle that you could like play cards or Yahtzee or whatever you wanted on road trips and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd get up and walk to the back, you know, lay on the bed, come back, sit in the seat, do something on the table. That was normal back then. Now, like, get caught sleeping in the back of a van while it's moving. Well, you're probably losing those kids.
Don't let me catch you in the back of a pickup.
Oh my God, yeah. Oh and I used to do that all the time.
They
too,
are all
riding
over that
the back
shit
of the pickup,
now.
Man.
I rode across counties.
Oh yeah, me too.
In the back
and
of a pickup.
And I preferred to go that way. If I was like with my cousins or something, that's the way we wanted to go. Was in the back of the pickup.
Yeah, it was fucking dude. It was
awesome.
Great. It was good times.
Just like this movie. It's childhood. This movie is childhood. That's what it is. You know?
It is. It's a lot of childhood. And disregard. It's another one of those things. It's like parents just didn't give a fuck.
Oh yeah, they did.
Back
didn't.
Then, like they just did not give a fuck. Like, they were like, as long as I know you're not getting in trouble, I don't give a fuck what you're doing. As long as you're not in my face,
right? And that kind of parlays into the, you know, he couldn't give the kids away. So he kind of realized he's stuck with them for now. And so later in the movie,
yeah,
they're like, we want to go dig in the mine. Come help us dig in the mine. And he's like, no, I don't want to go do that. Well, we're going to dig in the mine. Okay.
Well, you know, all right. So this is like literally this is after they've already gone up to the mine, gotten in the cart, driven the car, like almost killed themselves
right.
with the cart,
broke
all that shit.
Mirror.
Cost him all that fucking money, right? He's put them to bed. He's gone out again. He's gone gambling, stayed out all night. He comes out with a hangover. He's like, she says something at like medium tone. He's like, hey, let's not talk so loud and let's slow it down a bit.
Right.
Because he's got a fucking hangover. Then they're like, all right, we're going to the mine.
Right.
Okay. His first reaction should have been, isn't that how you just cost me $700?
Right.
But no, because he's got a hangover, he's like, fine, just get the fuck out of my face.
Right.
Just don't get in trouble. Just stay out of trouble and fuck it. I don't care if the mine falls on you. Just don't break anything else.
Yep.
That's as far as he's concerned.
That's it. It doesn't matter that the kids are going down into a dangerous, condemned mine.
He just doesn't want them to cost him any
no
more money. Because he's already lost what
he's
had.
He's in the hole now because of
the poker table. He's in the hole.
I mean, he only got $5 for him, too.
We can tell he also did not have a good card night right then because he didn't come out holding a bunch of money.
Well, I'm sure the banker kept hitting straights again.
I'm sure he did. He did mention that, what was it, three deuces beats jacks over twos or jacks over eights.
Something like that.
Something like that. It's like, all right. It's true, though. He got fucked.
He was out some money, so he was fine. Like, go ahead, kids. Go to the mine. Just don't cost me any more dough. And they do, and this is, to me, where Don Knotts and Tim Conway really start to take over the film. It is,
all right.
You know.
Admittedly, they do, because this is where they really come in, like, hardcore. As opposed to, like... to like the couple of times you've seen them like setting up to rob him and Conway just screwing it
up. Conway's an idiot. Amos is a moron.
Amos is a total moron. Admittedly though, I love how every time Don is talking to Amos and like that scene in the bar when he's trying to drink the beer, every time Amos gets it almost to his lips, he steals it and then drinks a little bit of it and hands it back, and then it does it continuously. Like, it's just every time he gets it to almost to his lips, he steals it and drinks it. And it, like later on when they're talking and the cigarette, and he's trying to light the cigarette,
God,
and he ends up lighting himself on
he lights
fire.
He lights Don Knotts on fire, Theodore.
Yeah,
and then
Theodore.
He ends up lighting
Theodore
the cigarette off
this.
Of his burning ass.
He had to get it lit somehow. That was his only match.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh, dude! It. All right. Admittedly, the very was it the that second time they're going to the mine,
Yep.
And Don Knotts and Conway, and they're sitting there. And Conway runs up, Amos, and he's like, "Oh my God! There's a posse of them. There's a posse. They're coming for us. There was at least five or six, minimum of 20.
With bear guns, the big bear guns.
With big bear guns, ready to blow us up. And you got Don like going, "Oh man, let's
go out in the blaze of glory."
Glory, and he's done talked it into it and tell him about like, "Well, I mean, if I had to do it in the big divide with you, I'd still lay my sleeping pad right next to you." Oh, it's a touching moment, and then those kids just walk up right behind.
They don't even try to go out in a blaze of glory. They put their hands up and stand up immediately.
Yeah, no, like they jump out of their skin.
And it's three kids.
They're like, "Oh my God." It's three kids. They got their hands up. And then they ask where the mine is. They tell him. And then, dude, he's
mad at Amos.
He is pissed.
Oh, my God.
And what's Amos' entire response to this?
What is it again?
You said you'd still throw your bedroll next to mine.
Oh, my gosh. Tim Conway and Don Knotts, like, this, I think this was their first movie as a comedy duo. And it was, they worked really, really well together. They are hilarious playing off of each other. Don Knotts in particular, by the way, for me, you know, it wasn't necessarily his lines. For me, like, the guy he's the funniest reactionary comic. Like, he can, like, when he's startled, it's the way he moves. It's his facial expressions. Hilarious. He's so funny at that.
Oh, yeah. No, like we had discussed earlier, he is a very good physical comedian. Oh,
brilliant.
And, like, he nails it every time. He has that perfect face and for just doing those expressions. And it doesn't matter what he's doing. He makes you believe that's what he felt at that exact moment, which is 9 times out of 10 is usually generally shock.
the shock phase and his reactions to stuff when he gets shocked.
You almost expect Don Knotts to have a heart attack at any moment. Oh my God, yes.
His face is so expressive. He reminds, like, a somewhat modern day equivalent to what he was as a physical comedic actor. I would compare him close to like 1990s Jim Carrey. He was very famous and well respected as a comedian, very well known for his physical comedy and his facial expressions and stuff like that. Like, that's who Don Knotts was.
Oh yeah, no, definitely, definitely. And but dude, like they take over this, but the kids, all right, so they find that big chunk of gold after they almost die.
Right.
They almost die in this mine collapse, and then somehow find an enormous chunk of
just
gold
sitting out in the open
that apparently
the
weighs like 100 pounds
that no one had ever found before.
It's worth, yeah, that no one had ever found before, because apparently when all that shit caved in, it cleared out this one little section that apparently nobody had finished digging out.
Yeah.
And they found a giant 100-pound or whatever fucking chunk of gold that was worth $87,500.
Yeah. Which is like $1 million now.
Yeah, it's like $1 million now. And, like, you know, notice that's Donovan buys everyone brand new clothes.
Yep. New dress for Cynthia. And yeah. But at the same time,
he got himself a nice brand new, like, off-white suit.
Yep. He's styling and profiling.
He was. He was extremely profiling.
Woo!
He was out drinking all night, hitting the crafts tables, hitting the next day, flying in, hitting a match, getting ready, going back and out, getting drunk as shit. Man that never sleeps. He spent more fucking money on a watch than you've spent on a house your entire life.
He has 20 of those watches, by the way.
I bet you he does. he probably only has 18 now.
Right.
He's probably had to hawk at least two of them. How many goddamn marriages that man's
had? A lot.
A lot. The alimony's got to be killing him. Why do you think he's still working?
It's true.
Is he still working? I
don't
know. I
think so. I think he's still in some capacity.
I think he's making appearances
mostly, like,
now.
Actually, he's not. Like, I don't think wrestling he
can. Like, I don't think he can actually physically wrestle.
I mean, the
anymore,
guy's like 100.
Which is Yeah.
He's old.
Well, he looks like he's 100.
He does. He does. But, you know, but it's Ric Flair, so fuck that. He's a natural.
But, I mean,
treasure.
He was styling and profiling.
He's styling and profiling. That's what he does.
And, I mean, come on, Four Horsemen.
Woo! He's the Golden Boy. Or the Nature. I just said the
I'm
Golden
not making
Boy.
It because I did not
the
make
nature
up
boy.
Any of that shit about him getting the Golden Boy.
The Nature Boy. No, he literally, there was like a story where he like stood up in a restaurant and he's like, see this watch, this Rolex? I got 20 of these. I don't give a shit. And he like threw it away and then came back the next day to get his watch back because he didn't have 20 of them. He just, you know, was doing it because he was Ric Flair. And he was showing off.
Yeah.
But I love Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey.
No, he's a great, he was a very charismatic
yes,
man.
He was. Like Mr. Donovan.
Yes, like Mr.
Bill
Donovan,
Bixby.
who after all of this, after seeing this town now erupt in assholes that want to take these
kids.
Oh, my
kids, God, and they come out of the woodwork, don't they?
Oh, they do. God damn.
Yeah.
The respectable families in that town look like shit.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them that I could see, there's like, yeah, all these people. And I'm like, God damn, I wouldn't give my kids to these people ever.
Hell no. And that,
like, I don't care how bad they've been at this point. Like, I'm not handing them over to any of you.
Nope. And that's when Sheriff Plot Device gets a fantastic idea.
You should marry
Dustin.
That's
right. Because that, you know what they teach you now in marriage counseling all the time? Stay together for the kids. Always stay in a marriage for the kids. Which is what...
Wait, they actually teach
no,
you
No, that's
this?
The opposite of what they teach you. You should
okay,
never
I was
stay
like,
together
I,
just for
I
the
was
kids.
Like, that, I was like, that's fucked up as shit, man. That's like the exact opposite of what I've always
yeah,
been told.
Exactly. And so, and that's basically the equivalent of what Cher was saying. Get married for the kids. Because that's
yeah,
a great idea.
Because that's a good way to start mm-hmm. a marriage. You know, getting married because of some kids that aren't either of yours.
Yeah, getting entering a loveless
over a gold
yes,
nugget.
A loveless, sexless marriage over a gold nugget. That sounds like a brilliant idea, Sheriff.
Would you plan on instantly taking off to like New Orleans, like
immediately,
post haste? Yeah, extremely immediately. It's like he was set up to go the very next
mm-hmm.
day. He was already had his horse, his buggy. He was ready to go.
Ready to rock and roll.
Admittedly, there was a misunderstanding.
I think what's crazier, though, is that...
In between that, though, we did skip the misunderstanding.
Oh, the misunderstanding. Yes. Would you like to dive?
Oh, this is good. This is good. So, in this agreement for a loveless, sexless mm-hmm. marriage... As right after they get married, they actually go through with this and get married for these
yep.
kids. He goes to start drinking with the sheriff. And as she's at the store, she finds out that he has bought a bed that she has been staring at for a hot while, to which she goes to the bar and destroys the
bar. Kicks his ass, too.
And beats his ass over the idea that she thinks he is buying the bed in order to sleep
mm-hmm.
with her.
And they agreed, that wasn't going to happen.
There wasn't going to be no hanky-panky.
Fuck
so now, me. Apparently, she's beating the hell out of him thinking rape. And he's like, I bought the guy. And he's trying to explain the entire time. Trying to explain while he's getting beat up that he bought the bed for the boys.
Mm-hmm.
So that way the girl could have the other bed and they could stay warm because it was getting cold.
Yep. Well.
To which she instantly goes, oh, I'm sorry. And then acts like it's everyone else's problem. Like they're the ones that did all that stupid shit.
Oh, what a unique way to portray domestic abuse in a movie. That was different.
It was extremely unique.
That was different. Yeah, well, that didn't go too well for old Donovan, but...
It did not.
But, you know...
But apparently that's what triggered love.
Of course.
Beating his ass inside of a bar triggered love for both of them. It was like a Cupid's arrow.
I mean, I met my wife in a bar, and she just literally beat the shit out of me with a baseball bat, and I knew I was in love.
Half of that story is true.
You can choose to believe which half of that story is actually true.
I believe the part that she beat your ass with a baseball bat, and then you knew that that was the woman you had to be with.
Yeah, bingo.
I think that's the truth.
Bingo.
I'm pretty sure you met her at a church event.
Yeah, a church event. She just beat me with a bat. It was actually at an organized softball game, and we were on opposite teams, and one of us won, one of us lost, the other one didn't take it too well, and I got the shit beat out of me.
Yeah, next thing you know, getting beat the shit out of with a bat. You know?
And then I knew I was in love.
It happens.
And where did I learn that? From the Apple Dumpling Gang as a child.
That's right. Bill Bixby. We better be fucking careful if she's going to start coming in actually beating your ass with a bat.
Thank you, Bill Bixby. But yeah, so after that,
she's going to be like, motherfucker, I tell you what, we'll add some validity to that goddamn story.
She doesn't listen to my podcasts in any way, shape, or form. Oh. So that's good. It's a good thing. I love you, Amber, in case you are listening. All right. I think that was good enough to get by with all this.
I think so. Thank you. You've got it covered.
Right. So, you know, they decide to stay married with the kids, right? And, you know, that's when the monkey wrench.
I mean, that's how I live my marriage. Right. I got three of them.
Stay married.
I mean, that's how I'm supposed to do this, isn't it? You know, I'm staying married for the kids because that means they're going to grow up with healthy ideas of what relationships are.
That's right. Just like this movie, Stay Married for the Kid. That's about the time that Blink-182 starts playing on the soundtrack. And what's that? They had the Stay Together for the Kids song, I think.
I like how he calls them little swindlers, and they're like, what's that? I don't know.
Yeah, little swindler. Oh, and then it wasn't too long after that that a certain semi-British douchebag shows back up.
Yeah, like right after the whole gold thing, you know, he shows back up looking dirtier than ever.
But like, yet more dapper. How does that work?
Yeah, way more dapper. He's supposed to be cleaned up wearing brand new clothes.
And in a
looking
top hat.
Nice, but looks like he rolled in shit and then put the clothes on.
How do you manage to look dapper and filthy as fuck all at the same time?
I don't know. It's like an art form.
Like grease all over his face. But he has a nice top hat, so what the fuck? I don't know. Maybe he has money, maybe he doesn't.
It looked like there was grease all over his face, like shit in his hair.
Nasty teeth.
Nasty ass teeth. Doesn't look like he had bathed ever, and then just brand new nice top hat and outfit.
If you got a top hat and a bolo tie, you're good to go.
And yet has a fucking lawyer behind him that looks like he had just got out the bath.
That's right. He had the wet, slicked back hair. And you know what? Gel didn't exist back then.
No.
So that was either...
No, so you know he was good
just bathed,
wet.
Or he's really fucking sweaty. That is a sweaty-ass lawyer.
Well, I mean, you know what they say about lawyers. Terrible, terrible people.
That's not where I thought you were going, but yes, you're absolutely correct.
Left turn.
I was expecting some like brilliant anecdote. You're just like, they're terrible. Okay.
Yeah. No,
you know what they say about lawyers? Fuck lawyers. That's what they say about lawyers.
I didn't, just like this movie, I was keeping it simplified.
That's right. So, yeah, Whistler, Wendell Wassel, Wessel Wassel. What the hell's his name again? The British douchebag. He shows up and he's like, it's my children now. Yeah, Wintle.
These kids. I tell you what.
That's right.
Let me show you this piece of paper that verifies that they're my kids. Now, mind you, that guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a complete douchebag. But I thought it was odd that the sheriff throughout the whole movie had been doing everything not by the book and completely made lunatic decisions left and right, looks down, he's like, yeah, they're your kids. That looks like it's all in order. It's like, what the fuck, sheriff? Like,
well, at that point, he couldn't do anything. There was no way for him to manipulate that.
I know.
Like, in every other situation through the film, he clearly has an objective way to, like, manipulate the situation.
I know, but he sentenced people to death.
But this is, like, he has an actual... Yes.
That is breaking the law,
because
too.
He had the option.
He's the judge
because
of the
he
town.
Had the option. He's the judge, the jury, the executioner, the fucking lawyer. He's literally damn near every like high council position that you could have in the entire fucking movie.
Yeah.
In the town. I mean, he can do basically whatever he wants until it comes to that piece
of
paper.
All of a sudden,
because of the fact that that's an official like court paper that will be like recognized through the entirety of the United States. Especially the state. There's nothing he can do about that. Because in his town, he can do whatever the hell he wants. It's like he says, here, I'm the law.
Yeah, here I'm the law, not everywhere else.
Yeah, he can't take it. He can't take it over to the next town and try that shit. They'll be like, man,
nah. Yeah, so, yeah, they're not letting, like, Sheriff Law Dog's not, he's not getting them out of this one. British boy's taking the kids, and he's taking them as soon as the bank closes the next day.
And this is where we get the actual apple dumpling game.
Yes, the real one. And this is also where we see Frank Stillwell for the first time.
Yeah.
Because he is scoping everything out, because he knows things are, you know, he's gotten wind of the gold nugget.
Yeah, I was like... Like, right after old boy shows up, you have Frank Stillwell show up as the reverend to talk to basically Dusty's father, who is basically looks like Colonel fucking Sanders, but like 5,000 times more
drunk. Yeah, well, he doesn't start off drunk when you first see him, but then as the movie progresses,
well, that's the thing.
He gets crazy
as the movie
drunk.
Progresses, you actually, you, yeah, but that's the thing. As the movie progresses, you start to think, man, was he drunk when we met him?
I wonder, because like he went from like a normal
like,
dude to
because you think
to,
about
like,
where he was
drunk.
Actually walking from. Yeah, you kind of think about this, like where he actually is walking from at the beginning of the film when you first see him is from the direction of the
That's
bar.
True, but he seemed way more sober in the beginning. Towards the end,
it
like
was
he's
the beginning
walking
of
around
the day.
Singing songs, acting like a complete tool.
Well, admittedly, it was the beginning of the
That's
day.
True.
So he had probably just started. By the end of the movie,
he's gone
far more into latter parts of the day. At one point during the damn gunfight, he is literally just stealing alcohol.
Yeah, he's three sheets to the wind.
When he fucking walks out, he has three bottles tucked in, like literally in his waistband on his back.
Thieving liquor when you're obviously a rich, rich man.
And then when he sees when he sees everybody ride back into town, he turns around, walks into like one of the buildings, waits for them to go by, and then continues on his way home. He's like, "Whoop! Can't let them find me with my stolen liquor."
That dude is a horrible drunk, and he is in charge of figuring out a way to get the gold out safely.
He owns the transport system.
Yeah, he owns it, and but we're kind of getting ahead of things because, like you said, the Apple Dumpling Gang is finally formed. And that's where you see the children interact with
the
Hash Knife Gang.
For the second time.
The second encounter.
Because they sneak up on them while they're sitting there starving.
This is where they actually interact like with and actually sit and talk to them and come up with a plan together.
That's right. And to steal the nugget
so
after they've already been sentenced
them.
To death
yes.
over that
yep.
nugget.
The kids want to give them the nugget because they just want to stay with Mr. Donovan. That's all they want.
They heard the sheriff done told them that Wendell don't actually love them and is only wanting them there for the gold.
Right. So no gold equals they go back to Donovan, who actually at this point you can tell cares about them.
He cares, but
he still wants to go to New Orleans,
out.
Though.
He's headed on New
Orleans.
And this is where... this is the strangest, like, interaction of love, like, ever. Like, it's just them apologizing for all the, like, the misunderstandings. Like, I'm sorry I beat your ass over that bed, and, oh, it's all right. And I'm sorry... What was this? I'm sorry I asked you for if you would like a drink.
Yeah, I didn't understand that one. Actually,
I don't get that one. Like, that's the one
I didn't
get.
Either.
I was like, I'm sorry. And if I had the chance, I wouldn't do it
yeah,
again.
Yeah, I don't get
and
that.
And then I was like, okay.
Maybe there was a deleted
because, scene. Well, I mean, no, like, you see him and he stops, he talks to her, and then he, like, he like kind of slaps her on her side or something with his hat or something, kind of, you know, just friendly pop, and goes, hey, you want to come down? I'll get you a drink. And they had a weird, awkward moment right there where he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't think of you as a woman.
Huh.
So apparently asking a woman to go get a drink then was a
like an insult,
bad? Like an insult
to their femininity.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know. That was honestly a real, like, that entire thing through like the film is a little bit like, I don't understand.
I don't get that at all.
But you know, maybe it's just something for the time period that I'm missing.
Yeah. Either that, like, 1800s or 1970s. When this movie, I don't think it's the 70s.
I don't think it's the 70s. So, the 70s, they were all about that.
That's right.
So there's definitely a huge change throughout the years there. But they get this plan hatched together, mm-hmm. all right? And then they're going to actually, like, set it forth. But who should actually be there?
Frank Stillwell.
That's right. He's already there.
Frank and his Stillwell Steve Austin was a leg real brace. Desperado in the 1800s. That was a real bad dude in real life. Yeah. Frank Stillwell. They based him off of a real guy. Because I know in the sequel, one of the bad guys is Wesley Harden, who was also an actual real desperado back in the day.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting.
Well, I guess they wanted to include a little bit of actual history.
A little bit, I guess.
Just a smidge?
Just a smidge. But then I don't think that Frank Stillwell was rocking around with the Steve Austin leg brace either.
I don't think he was, at least not at the time. He may have been shot by one of his gang.
By a guy named Amos.
Yeah, I mean, that, to be honest with you, hell, we don't know. We'd have to look into it. That seems like a research point.
Mm-hmm. We should have done better research.
Found out if an actual Amos shot Frank Stills.
I don't know. But yeah, he's in
and
there.
If he did, that's hilarious.
That would be quite the coinky dink. Yeah, he's robbing the bank already. And the kids get sucked up into the whole situation before Theodore and Amos even know what's going on.
Yep, and then they run in there with their
sweaty diamond. Oh my god, yes.
And their firearms that are literally falling apart.
Yeah.
Like, I love how Don Knotts, like his gun actually like drops. Like, it like literally falls in half for a second.
They are the worst criminals of all time. That scene, by the way, when they're trying to crawl.
He's still using the bandana that's already been burnt.
Oh my god.
Like, you can see half of his face anyway.
I think one of the funniest parts of the movie is when they're trying to break into the bank earlier in the film and trying to go across the ladder. And he's trying to hoist Theodore up using their mule, Clarice, I think her name is. Or
yeah, and the very first time he almost,
it like, almost hangs him. Oh my god.
No, I love that the kids see them, and it's like, how did he do that?
Yeah.
Oh,
they're great together. But yeah.
But you end up getting Donovan later as they try to escape using Clarice.
Mm-hmm.
Was that her name? Clarice,
I think the mule.
As a hostage.
Oh, you're talking. Clarice, I think, is the mule. Cynthia is the girl.
Is that the mule? Cynthia, that's it. Cynthia. I forgot her name for a second. Cynthia. They use her as a hostage, and of course you have Donovan and Dusty right off. Dusty gets her, and Donovan and him have an epic fist fight on top of this stolen fire truck.
I this is the point where I am half expecting, being it's Bill Bixby, for him to start to turn green, Lou Ferrigno to show up and kick the shit out of everybody. Because, you know, that's
true.
I watched The Incredible Hulk a lot when I was a kid. And that's what really where I recognize Bill Bixby more than anything. But
and that would seem to be like the general MO. That would be the perfect moment for him to suddenly Hulk
takes
out
a couple
and
of shots and now he's mad. You shouldn't have made him angry.
Yeah, it made him angry. He got punched in the face. Now he's pissed.
By the way, while that's happening, Theodore and Amos are still in the bank and people realize that and start
getting shot.
By the way, the entire townspeople, actually all but except the one gangster that shot the dude in the shoulder when he first walked out of the bank in the beginning of the gunfight. Other than that, literally everybody in the movie, about as good a shot as a stormtrooper, really. Nobody can hit the broadside of a barn.
They are just shooting this building.
And no one gets...
They are literally just like tearing the building up, but they're not hitting anybody.
And at one point, there's like seven people in this tiny little building, and they didn't hit one of them.
No, they didn't. They missed every single shot. They didn't even graze anybody.
No, the only person who hit anyone was one dude who shot a guy in the shoulder at point blank range when he walked out of the bank for a second. That's it.
He walked out of the bank and did he hit him in the shoulder or the chest? Like he literally, I think that's the only guy that actually died. Did he live?
Yeah, they drug him into the bar, I think, and he was talking to him. So I think he lived.
Okay, well, I guess maybe he lived. I mean,
it's a Disney movie. Yeah, and they only kill people in their animated movies, not in their live actions. Like, it's okay to kill Bambi's mom, but not a cowboy in a gunfight.
No, we can't show like cowboy gunfight getting killed.
We just murder animated animals. So okay, Disney.
This makes sense. Yeah. This makes all sense. But even after the like this giant like fist fight on this, as they get into the river. Frank is about to drown, and Donovan, being the good Samaritan that he is, saves Frank. That's Stills.
Because he's good to the core.
I guess he's like, well, I got to make sure the ball gets their man.
That's right.
I guess. I don't know. I can't just bring him in dead. But he gets a $5,000 reward
for it. Exactly. And that is what allows him to finally buy his dream saloon or whatever in New Orleans.
It's all the money that he could use to buy that drink saloon with that $5,000.
How does the banker in this place have the deed to a saloon in New Orleans?
Well, he doesn't have a deed.
He sells him. He gives him a deed.
He does, but what he does is he looks at him. He says, "Are you here?" He hands him the money and then says, "Here's the like deed to like the Bixby place or something like that." And then dude makes the comment about this is all the money I need to do like that dream. And then girl walks out, you know, Dusty walks out in the dress, and dude looks at him and says, "Are you sure about this?" And he goes, "Yeah," and hands him the money, and he buys the Bixby place.
Oh, okay. See, I thought that the Bixby place or whatever was the name of the saloon in New Orleans, and they were all going to New Orleans, and then they take Amos and Theodore.
No, he ended up changing his mind.
Oh, okay.
He changed his mind. Instead, now he's bought this place with X amount of acres, and now they're headed to that place.
Ah, and they're going to live. Because
instead of doing his saloon thing, he decided to settle down and be a family man.
Settle down, be a family man with the crazy drunk grandpa and the two ex-criminals.
Gang members. Yeah. That were trying to rob him the entire movie.
All he wanted to do was rob him, but they're going straight.
They're going straight. And now they're going to help him and live with him. I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Quite understand it, but it's cool. It just shows that Bill Bixby is quite possibly the nicest human being ever.
I don't know.
I don't know. He's a terrible father.
But he's
a nice guy.
And yet Dusty says a real nice guy. At one point, "You're the best father those kids could have ever had." Really? Really, Dusty? Are you sure about that?
Well, honestly, if you think about it, if you think about all the rest of the people in this movie.
Comparatively, yeah.
He's probably the better. Comparatively, he's a much better father than everyone else in the movie. They were terrible choices, except for maybe the sheriff. But even then, terrible choice, because you know he's just going to be like, "Get the fuck out of my face."
I could see that.
He's like, "I got other shit to do. I ain't got time to be fooling with you. Get out of my face."
I could see that, yeah. It's just strange, like, all the weird choices, especially the sheriff. I mean, just some of the choices.
I mean, not everybody can be the Little House on the Prairie.
That's true. And that is very, very true. But they don't need to make choices like Al Bundy either.
No, they don't.
So, I don't know. I got, here's a fun little fact about this movie. This movie was the most successful Disney movie of the 1970s. Did you know that?
I did not. That actually, that doesn't surprise me. That's a really good movie.
And one more fun little fact. This was one of the first Disney movies ever to be released on videotape in the early 1980s. So,
that's really
very
cool.
Popular little movie here, which is kind of forgotten, honestly. When I talk to people that I was going to be on the show and We were doing the Apple Dumpling Gang. Well, I could mention 100 of the animated movies that came before this movie or around the same time period or after. Everyone knows that. I mentioned the Apple Dumpling Gang, which was every bit as successful as many of these animated movies of the time, and nobody remembers it at all, it seems like, except for people like my parents or grandparents. So,
yeah,
kind of a forgotten gem.
It's like the original, the Parent Trap.
Right, right. Kind of a forgotten gem here. But it has...
People need to remember it, and that's why we're talking about it.
But, you know, it's never been remade, like, say, The Love Bug was, you know, in, I don't know, the 2000s.
But that was terrible.
It was awful. Awful film.
That was fucking... Just like... Oh, and notice, it starred the same fucking person that...
The Parent Trap. Yep, you're right.
And Freaky Friday.
She remade
different great original Disney
films. You're right.
And not a damn one of them is better than the original. And the one with Freaky Friday has fucking Jamie Lee Curtis, and yet it's not. It's just not as good.
No, it's not. Not at all. And thank God she stayed the fuck away from Apple Dumpling Gang. Yeah, and they had some okay ones, because, like, I thought Flubber was okay. Like, I still prefer the absent-minded professor, but Flubber wasn't bad. But that's Robin Williams.
I called it the Nutty Professor. I called it the Nutty Professor at a different point. But no, it is the absent-minded professor.
Right.
Yes, for Flubber. And I mean, I like both
films.
I do too.
I mean, Robin Williams, it's hard to dislike Robin Williams, you know.
Right. I mean, it's just hard to not like Robin Williams. He's fucking
great.
Yeah,
there was a rash of those Lohan movies that just ruined things. And I loved I loved The Love Bug growing up. Loved that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Fucking great. But that... now I'm angry.
Now, see, yeah.
I'm angry about the remake of that fucking Love Bug with Lindsay Lohan. I'm just like, it's terrible.
Yeah. Didn't do it to the Apple Dumpling Gang, so there you go.
That is true.
I bet you it gets remade eventually, though.
They remade the Shaggy Dog.
They did. You're right. They did. Tim Allen, I think.
They did. I'm trying to remember what they did. That one they did with fucking Kirk Hammond.
Spacing.
There's one done with him, and it has to do with a fucking dog too.
I don't know. I don't remember
right now. I'd have to look that up another time. I have to.
They
look
have
that up
remade a lot of their landmark movies from those time periods. So
yeah.
But not this one, and I'm sure it will happen someday, and it'll be like fucking...
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things, it's hard to recapture the magic that is like Don
Knotts.
And Tim Conway.
It's going to be like Seth Rogen and fucking James Franco or some shit, you know? That's what they're going to end up doing. Which, and by the way, I don't dislike those actors, but this brand
of
humor... It's not meant to be remade. You can't really replicate, like, it just, it does, it's not going to transfer into today's movies anymore. Or if they do, it'll be a completely different type of humor, and it won't really be the same movie. So, like, the days of the Apple Dumpling Gang being, they're gone, you know? You don't need to remake this film in particular, in my opinion.
No. No, that typically, like, I'm not going to say that there aren't some remakes out there that are actually not like superior or just as good as the original, but a lot of them are just god awful.
Right.
Like a lot. And you kind of wonder, how do you fuck this up when you had like an entire script and plot line right there in front of you and you just took it and destroyed it.
What they were doing is they were taking movies that Disney made for entire families and repackaging them for preteens only. These were movies that were made for the whole family to laugh at, the kids and the adults, and then you gear them for just preteens where the adults just watch them go, this is a piece of shit. So...
Pretty much. I'll have to agree with that. That sounds very plausible and very much exactly what they did. Yeah.
But hey, you know, everything gets remade eventually in Hollywood, and it's freaking Disney, so
yeah,
it is what it is. They're remaking everything these days. I think there was another one of their famous like animated movies that's getting a... I think maybe The Lion King's getting a live-action remake now or something.
I think I've heard about The Lion King getting a live action remake and
Aladdin. Yeah. So there are no original ideas anymore. So
Not really. I mean, not many.
Most movies are sequels. A lot of shit has been done. Reboots anymore. You look at your blockbuster movies on a year in, year out basis, and it's almost exclusively sequels and reboots. You don't see a lot of original, you know, big summer movies anymore. So, and they love to, like, they love to pull from my childhood from the 80s. Like, that's the thing right now in Hollywood is taking 80s franchises and repackaging them. So,
they love to do that. They love to do that. They've kind of run through the 70s quite a bit. And the 60s.
Now it's 80s turn. I'm waiting for the Thundercats movie and the Voltron movie. So we'll see.
I mean, Voltron, you know, is big, I think, on
now,
Netflix.
Yeah, it's a new, they have a new Voltron. Yeah, you're right. They do.
So, yep. They very much have a Voltron movie. I could see that.
Yeah. So.
Yay.
That's how I feel. Every time a new Transformers comes out. Yay.
Yep. But, all right, everybody, that has been the Apple Dumpling game, and it was great. I mean, I definitely give it a case. It's definitely something that everybody should watch, so that would be like a 4 out of 5. I would give it a 4 out of 5. The ratings it got on, like, IMDb
spectacular.
And Rotten Tomatoes, it's not great.
I think it's a movie they're that like, you have to have a nostalgic love for, you know?
Well, I don't know. The iTunes Apple one's not so bad. It's a 4.5. It's a 4.4 out of 5. But the IMDb is like a 6.4 out of 10.
I saw that.
And Rotten Tomatoes is only 56.
And the sequel's even worse rated. So
yeah, and I honestly feel like this movie deserves more than a 56. At least a solid 75.
I would give it the same rating as you did. I'd give it a case. I'd give it a 4 out of 5. Because for me, I'm also throwing in the nostalgic love too, as well. Not only saying that
that's
it's a
true.
Great movie that I enjoy, but also I've enjoyed it for a long time. It holds a place in my heart from childhood. So for me, that even ups it a little bit. So I'll put it at a 4 out of 5.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, all right, everybody, though. We've had a great time talking about this. Hey, Chris, you want to tell everybody where they can find Laser Disco?
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter at Laser Disco Pod. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Laser Disco Movie Podcast. We're in your house. We're hanging out with your mom. That's kind of what we do. We like to go and hang out with moms because moms are cooler, generally, than you are. So,
I mean, they do feed
they
you.
They feed you. Like, yeah, they're great, you know. We'd sit down. We'll chill out. We'll eat some of your mom's home cooking and watch Golden Girls and have a good time. So,
yeah, sounds like a good time. Sounds real fun. All right. So, everybody, you can find Now in Technicolor at, like, just type it in the search engine, Now in Technicolor Podcast. We're on, like, Podomatic, Stitcher, Apple Podcast. Pretty much anywhere you can think to find us.
Soon to be a Broadway musical, I hear.
Me. Soon to be a Broadway musical. As a matter of fact, you can also catch me and Chris on the Podfix Network.
Yeah, on Loot Quest.
A bunch of other glorious shows.
That's right.
And Loot Quest that will come out eventually.
That's right.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited. Some RPG and
I'm excited for some RPG and shows. So this should definitely be a lot of fun.
And it's Star Wars. How
it is
favorite thing in the universe. So yeah, very stoked for that.
Hell yeah! So we are gonna have a lot of fun with that. That'll be definitely something y'all should keep an eye out for. And then I think Dave has another Star Wars show that's a discussion podcast called From a Certain Point of View that will be coming out relatively soonish too. So, all right, everybody. This has been fun. It's great. Everybody take care and stay colorful. Please don't wake me up. I'm dreaming in Technicolor. Feel your heart beating. The rhythm is like no other. And when the skies are gray, we'll paint the night together. Please don't wake me up. We're dreaming in Technicolor. We'll be right back.
sorry. You went through that so quick. I was just like, yeah, I'm ready to go. And you're like, all right, if you haven't seen the apple, all right. you caught me off guard, man. You caught me off guard.
This is a podcast on the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.